The ascension into heaven is a feast, I think, that reminds us that the world is actually very different than most people realize. It reminds me, Pope Benedict XVI was in Fatima on Thursday, and it reminded me of John Paul's experience there, John Paul II. He was having his weekly audience in St. Peter's Square. If any of you have been to St. Peter's, you know that's a highlight of anybody's trip to Rome. It's when the Pope comes out on the balcony and addresses the people. And the Pope later was in his Popemobile. And that was the day that he was shot. The date was May 13th, 1981, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. And the Pope later, in the hospital, as he was recovering, realized the significance of the date. He was a very Marian Pope, but Fatima was some of the things he himself had not looked into yet. And while he was in the hospital, he asked that the third secret of Fatima be brought to him, which no one had read except some of the previous popes. And he read it and realized that he was the Pope of the secret. He later revealed it on May 13th, the year 2000, in the Jubilee year, what that secret contained. It was the third and final secret. The other two had been revealed in 1927. Lucia had written it down, and it had been sealed to be opened after 1960. So what that secret said, and this is not all of it, but it was a vision rather than words, and it was a vision of a great mountain, and it was, and this is part of this is the interpretation that Pope Benedict gave it when he was the prefect for the Doctrine of the Faith. He said that there were angels with flaming swords in front of it, and very apocalyptic. See, this is image from the apocalypse. And there was a man dressed in white ascending the mountain, and all around him people were being killed for the faith, priests, religious, lay people. And as the Pope, carrying his cross, made his way to the top of the mountain, he too was shot and appeared to be dead. So naturally the Pope read this, was shot actually on the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. And so a year later, in gratitude to Our Lady for saving his life, he went to Fatima and consecrated the world to Our Lady, including Russia. He would later say very famously, it was Our Lady's hand that guided the bullet. I always thought, well, I would have said, Mary, couldn't you have guided it a little bit further off to the right, you know? You know, like right here. It's the mystery of suffering, isn't it? It was necessary for the Pope to go through that. He was suffering for the world. Suffering because he was Pope. Suffering because he was innocent. This is Christological. If he had died, not only Catholic history, but world history would have been very different. The bullet missed his heart or a major artery by a hair, you know? It's just to contemplate that. So the Pope took this bullet. This is the part you probably have not heard. The Pope took this bullet with him to Fatima that had gone through his body and had it placed in the crown of the statue of Our Lady of Fatima that sits in the Cova di Ira where Pope Benedict celebrated Mass. It was said that there was a spot on the crown where it fit exactly. And it's still there today. One can't see it. The statue is way up on a tall pillar. There are many mysteries of life. And I think the Lord parted the heavens in Fatima. It's far too long to go into in a short homily, but I thought I'd just talk about some of the highlights and things that have meant things to me about the devotion. Father Bill Dillard, who formerly of this diocese now in San Diego, and I, a classmate of mine, went there and went to Ireland on a private pilgrimage in the year 2000. And Father Bill is 6'11" tall. We used to call him our high priest. And it worked really well because people would see us there in Fatima and they always asked him for a blessing and they ignored me, which I liked very much. Anyway, where was I? The three children of Fatima were aged 7, 8, and 9. And in 1916, they were shepherding their flocks. This is the kind of these apparitions almost always occur to children who are very innocent and don't know anything, often very poor, and shepherds, just like Mary was and Jesus. Remember? This is the way she was. So the angel of Portugal came to them, and he said, "I am the guardian angel of your country." Now think about that for a minute. The United States also has a guardian angel. And he said, "Our Lord is very much offended. He said, he needs you to make sacrifices and prayers so that your country will be safe and many souls will be saved." They were in the middle of World War I at that time. And then he held up a chalice of the precious blood and a Eucharistic host. And he said, this is where I have to use my cheat notes. He said, "Take and drink the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, horribly outraged by ungrateful men. Make reparation for their crimes and console your God." These children had done nothing, but they were called to enter into the mystery of suffering. And he left the chalice and the host suspended in midair and joined the children in teaching them how to pray, and they bowed their heads to the ground. If you remember my homily of a few weeks ago, this is the way the angels pray in heaven. They bow their heads to the ground, and they prayed a very long prayer, which I should put in the bulletin, but I can't pray now. The angel appeared to them three times, always encouraging them to make sacrifices, to say the rosary, to pray for the conversion of sinners. 1 year later, Our Lady appeared to these three children again. She didn't tell them who she was. She said, "I'm asking you to come on the 13th of each month, and then in October, I will give a great sign that will tell the world that I was here." Well, word got out very quickly. The parish priest there was very much against it. He was sure they weren't making it up. This is a normal reaction. I would be the same way. It's necessary to be very skeptical of these things. The communist authorities, as the months went by, were very, very upset that there were all these people gathering to pray. Finally, the children were arrested in August and prevented from coming on the 13th. Our Lady appeared a few days later and showed her extreme displeasure at this and said the miracle would be less because this happened to the children. They even threatened these children with putting them in boiling oil unless they told the truth. Can you believe this? This is what they did to them. They took Lucia aside, for example, and they said, your two friends have already been put in boiling oil. This is your last chance. None of that was true. On the 13th day of October, some of you have heard this story. It was raining all night, all day and all night. Everything was muddy. Sounds like Tillamook, don't you think? 70,000 people descended on the little COVID era. It was a muddy field, like Woodstock, you know? And well, kind of a spiritual Woodstock. Where did that come from? Our Lady was to have appeared at noon. The crowd waited and prayed. They were covered with mud, soaking wet. Can you imagine? Noon came, and nothing happened. 12:01, 12:02, 12:03, 12:04. People started crying out, saying it's a fake. They started to get mad. The crowd's noise was rising. And then Lucia's voice was heard above the crowd. She does not remember saying this. She said, "Look at the sun." See, she was already having her apparition. They could not see it. Our Lady was not late. She tested them. Mark it well. So they looked up at the sun. Now, what I'm going to describe to you is not a pious legend. It's not fiction. It's not one of these things you read from centuries and centuries ago. It's all written up in the local newspapers, which were run by socialists that were not Catholics. All of this. The sun began to change color and dance in the sky. You could look right at the sun. It multicolored. It began to move and sway. And suddenly it took a zigzag course and got larger and larger as it came toward the earth in this vision. And people fell on their faces and said, "Oh God, save us, a sinner. Don't let us die in our sins." They thought it was the end of the world. And as quickly as it began, it all ended. And everybody's clothes were dry. Those are the facts. Why wasn't the world converted by that? Because it doesn't want to be converted. That was God's point. You can meditate on that. I look at Our Lady of Guadalupe in the back of the church. I think the whole world should be converted by this scientifically inexplicable miracle. But it is not. What's the message of Fatima for us? I thought it was interesting that I fell, and I did not break my wrist. I've got a slight hairline fracture in it, in one of the bones here, and tore a tendon or something. I said, "Lord," I said, "I've got work to do. You can't do this to me." And I realized God was offering me a chance to make a sacrifice. You see, our lives consist of many joys and much suffering. Do I make use of my sufferings? Do I know how to turn them to good in my life? Does my family need prayers? Yes. Does our country need prayers? Are you kidding? We've got oil flowing in the Gulf, which could be the worst man-made disaster in human history. We've got two wars we can't get out of. We're in an economic crisis that's so scary, I don't even want to read about it anymore. We have a moral breakdown in our society that is truly frightening in its proportions. And how can I make a difference? We have an angel that's just like the angel of Portugal, who asks people of goodwill to make sacrifices for the love of our country, for the love of our families, for the conversion of sinners. Sounds old-fashioned, doesn't it? But what does our life consist of? Not complaining when I have a headache, thanking God when I fall and hurt my arm, praising God when I'm caught in traffic, thanking God when it's rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Thank God for our beautiful state, you know. The moment our property is being overrun by rabbits, thank God for that. Well, that's where I draw the line, all right? Make use of the time that God gives you. Have you ever thought of denying yourself something? Maybe I can turn off that TV program just once and read the Bible. Do I stay to the end of Mass? Most people at this Mass do. At the 5:30 Mass, we have about 20 people that leave early. I'm going to get them next week. We don't want any sacrifices in our lives, do we? Oh, no. But sooner or later, it's going to come to you whether you like it or not. Make a virtue out of a necessity. That's what I'm truly going to do this year. I'm going to see where God is asking for a sacrifice. Usually it's keeping my mouth shut. You know, isn't that where we all live and work? The two other secrets, I won't go into detail. They were revealed in 1927. Our Lady showed these children a vision of hell, and it is a truly frightening image. I invite you to go on the web and look it up. I won't describe it here. It's too disturbing, but it's very real. She said, "This is where sinners in mortal sin that are unrepentant go." She said, "To save them, pray and make sacrifices for your family and those around you." The second part of the secret, again, was revealed in 1927, that the first war would end, World War I, but if people did not repent, there would be a second war. God would no longer stay his hand. That is to say, God would permit us to do ourselves in. He didn't send the war. He just stopped helping us for a brief moment. You know what happened. He said, "When you see a great sign of lights in the sky," he said to Lucia, "know that the war is near." There was a huge aurora borealis, I believe, in 1939. And she knew. It was too late. Today, on this feast of the ascension into heaven, God invites us to see things with his point of view. Let us pray that when we are offered a chance to make some small sacrifice for someone else or for the love of God, or a suffering that we did not deserve, that we can say a little prayer and offer it to God for Jesus, who loved us so much. We will be very surprised at the end of our lives what has kept our country safe and our families secure. It may be just those little things that we offer to God, that He offers us today.